For those of you who were at the shiur last Shabbos afternoon, we noted the loss of Klal Yisrael experience on Erev Shabbos at the passing of Rav Netter Greenblatt, Zichrono Livracha. We spoke a little bit about him, and Levaya was Sunday. Shiva will be over on Shabbos. So I thought maybe we talk about some psukim of his. We spoke about one letter of his in the shiur on Shabbos, so you want to begin by expanding on that a little bit. I got a little more context of the Maisa Shehaya there over the week, and we'll talk about some a little bit in more detail and some of the issues that are raised in that tshuva, and then as time allows, we may go on to discuss another tshuva as well. So again, the context of this tshuva letter, which I had found in the archives of Yeshiva in the Rav David Lifshitz collection, was a letter that Rav Netter wrote to Rav David Lifshitz in 1963. Rav Netter got to Memphis in 1949. In 1963, he was in his 30s. So he wrote this letter to Rav David Lifshitz. And the context, as I understand now, putting a few pieces together, was that apparently there was another rabbi in Memphis that didn't get along with Rav Netter so well. And there was a maisa where Rav Netter was megayer, ostensibly a child without converting the mother. And this other rabbi in Memphis went to Rav David and was complaining that Rav Netter did this, which at first glance seemed a little bit odd. So Rav Netter is writing to Rav David, defending himself and explaining that apparently that whoever told you the information didn't get all the facts straight. And in order to be mekayim the yisem nekiyim, that you shouldn't suspect that I did anything inappropriate, I'm going to present the entire context of what I did and my calculations for why I did it, so you'll have a full picture of the story. So the Maaseh Shehaya was that there was a child who applied to the Jewish day school in Memphis that Rav Netter was instrumental in opening shortly after he got to Memphis. And apparently the mother and the child, who was 5 years old, had converted with the local conservative rabbi. So the Orthodox day school wasn't prepared to accept this child who was a conservative convert. So the end of the story was, in fact, that Rav Netter was Megayer the kid and not the mother. What was the calculation and how did he arrive at that conclusion? So there are a number of hanachos that go into the analysis over here. Number one, the fact that even though the family ostensibly seemed to be observant and generally within the Orthodox orbit, at least as is presented, nevertheless, not to point out as a Devar Pashit that we wouldn't accept the gairus of any conservative rabbi. So that's consistent with his Rabbi Ramosha's position in a number of tshuvos, that any conservative rabbi, any rabbi functioning in a conservative congregation, even if he personally was a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, is fundamentally a puzzle or a chashash puzzle because you're affiliating with an ideology that involves kfira. So the Mar Mekomos, I put one of many tshuvas, where Moshe writes along these lines, Chelek, Aleph, Eben Ezer, Simon, Pei, Hey. This is in the context of being matter a woman to remarry without a get based on the determination that the original kedushin was not halachically valid, where the officiating rabbi was a non-Orthodox clergyman and there were no kosher witnesses present. Sir Moshe writes that Misaber, that the officiant here, was Minakitos HaRishayim HaReformer VaConservativin Sheh Mitzuyim B'Medinasein B'Avonasein HaRabim Sheh Rabbanim Shelahem Hem Kofrim B'Har B'Yikari Hadas V'Psulim La'edos V'Ein Sarach L'Kabal Seidos Olayim V'Bezdin V'Nimsa Shelo HaYasham Af Eidach HaKasher Sheh Nakidushin Klum L'Kuli Alma. So even though in Ramosha's view of the world and general practice, lechachila would require a get, even if the kedushim were not halachically valid. But if push comes to shove, if it's impossible to procure a get, then you could allow the woman to remarry without a get. So that's the context of this tshuva of Ramosha. That was Ramosha's position that a conservative rabbi, a rabbi functioning in a conservative congregation, is fundamentally a puzzle. So even if you had a bezdin that consisted of three rabbis who were personally observant, but they're conservative affiliated, and even if the geiris followed proper protocols, and there's a proper kabbalah samitzvahs, et cetera, the conservative rabbis are pasul be'etzem. That's as opposed to Soloveitchik, who reportedly had a little bit of a more quality liberal position on the matter. Both Rav Shechter and Rabbi Willig have told me that they never heard this directly from the Rav, but have heard it from others, and I heard from other reliable sources as well. Rabbi David Shapiro, who was the longtime principal of Maimonides, told me once he did a maisa with a child of The Ger Katan was converted by a dozen of conservative rabbis who are personally observant, and the Rav told them to accept the kid into Maimonides, where Moshe's position was more strident about the even personally observant conservative rabbis. So based on that, if not the starting point is you can't accept this Geirus under any circumstances as is. Our Bezin's position, meaning so taking that position, every kula has an equal, every chumra has an equal and opposite kula. So if you're going to be, and vice versa, if you're going to be nakel to allow a woman to remarry without a get because that conservative rabbi is apostle, so then you're going to be mafmir not to accept any geirus that he does under any circumstances as such. As we at the Bezdin are a little bit more reluctant about that because if he's personally observant, at least the chashash maybe is a kasher. So at least as far as the imaginatious ish, we'd be more reluctant to do so or wouldn't do so if the conservative rabbi who officiated, who might have been one of the two Edim, without any other kosher Edim, was personally observant. So I think the most recent case that we had along these lines where we weren't prepared to be Mekel, but others would have been, I discussed with Rivnata, I think it might have been 2019, the year before COVID, when he already was... his hearing was going, it's hard to talk to him, but we had such a case where he was prepared to be Mekel, Rabbi, some other Rabbanim who were closer to Ramosha's final psak, prepared to be Mekel, Alpi Ramosha. I think we had asked Rav Nata to sign on to Tshuva. I don't remember if he did in the end in that particular case or not. So starting point number one, that the conservative Geirus is nothing. You can't accept the kid under those circumstances. Fine. So now, okay, so let's be Megayer the mother. And be Megayer the kid if they're basically living an observant lifestyle. So Rav Nata's second position is that if you're going to Megayer the mother is living with a Jewish guy. So that's called the Geirus L'Shem Ishus. So that's the Gemara in Yevamos Naf Kaf Dalet, that you can't be Megayer someone for ulterior motivation. You can't be Megayer someone who's converting L'Shem Ishus. Even though B'diyavu Kulam Geirim Heim. L'Chachila, you can't convert someone L'Shem Ishus. So there are two issues that relates to. Number one, the actual conversion, L'shem Ishus, and number two, the halacha of Nitan. The halacha of Nitan is, so take a look, quote of Shulchan Aruch, Evanesh, Simon Yud Aleph, Sif Hei, HaNitan Mishivcha V'Vedas Kachavim V'Niskai V'Nishach, if there are murmurings that a person has a relationship with a Shivcha Kananis or with a non-Jewish woman, and then that woman converts, that woman is Mishukhreres, so now she's 100% Jewish, so she could marry freely as any Gioris can within Klai Yisrael. Nevertheless, lo yichnos, you're not allowed to marry her. Vim kanos lo yotzi. If you married her, so be the eved, you don't have to give her again. Why are you not allowed to marry this woman? She converted kehalacha. The machlokas rishonim. Rashi writes, mishum laz, you're there in that second kaf dalet, shelo yomru emes haya kol rishon. They were concerned. The people are murmuring that there's this relationship. So now, we don't know if it's true or not. Now, the woman converts, and she ends up marrying the guy. So everyone will say, aha, so the rumors were true. And that doesn't make anyone look good. The Rashba, both in Chidushim there and in Tshuvas, Tshuvas Chelek Aleph, Simon Elif, Reish Hei. Rashba writes, I'm reading now from the Tshuva, Chelek Aleph, Simon 1205, Niyu l'chachila lo yichnos, the lazis fasayim ika umuchur davar. So the chachila can't get married because that's disgusting. Gam ki chashash yesh bezu shalon iskayu l'shem shamayim. Maybe this is an indication that she wasn't begayer sincerely. Alakadesh tinasi lazav yasas chatan yesh benayin. It's some kind of ruse. It's some kind of a plot that she's not really sincere and she's just trying to pull the wool over her eyes because her motivation is to marry this guy. That's how the Rashba says. And some point out, maybe this is an nafkamina between Rashi and the Rashba. Everyone knows that it's not that there's a murmuring that they had a relationship. They're civilly married. They're living together as husband and wife. There's no doubt in anyone's mind. In anyone's mind, it's clear that they're living together. So if the concern is that you shouldn't have a laz, that maybe there's something to the rumors. So they're not rumors. It's fact. According to Rashi, there shouldn't be any restriction on nitan. according to the Rashba, the concern is people will say that the Gavis wasn't sincere and it's all a fake. So then that could be relevant here, here as well. Ramosha writes, Chelak Aleph, Evan Ezer, Simin Kaf Zayin. Chelak Aleph, Evan Ezer, Simin Kaf Zayin. That bottom line is even according to the Rashba, La Halacha, if you have a comfort level with the quality of the Geirus, so then you don't necessarily have to be worried about Nitan as much. He says, V'afla tam shekasa rashba v'ritva sha'isir b'bav v'adai hu d'alaza sasayim hu sha'yom d'lo niskayra l'shem's nus. V'zelo kanasa l'shem's nus. Gamkin l'shayek v'chzika kol ha'esu nesua mitzad dineyem. So even according to them, maybe it's not relevant if they've been civilly married. Nothing changes. They were simply married before. So what exactly, and there's no, not necessary to be a guy for them to be together. They already were together civilly. So there's what to talk about that maybe even in that case, where they're already civilly married, the din of Nitan doesn't apply. So that's one question. As far as Nitan is concerned, so that's potentially a surmountable problem. And the other question is, well, how do you parse what's considered to be l'shem ishus for ulterior motivation? So let's say a person can have multiple motivations for doing something. The original impetus for converting is the fact that there's a relationship, but independent of that relationship, there's sincere commitment to Judaism. So the Beis Yosef at the end of Siman Reis Samachas, the Siman on Geirus, is Mitzayin the Gemara Menachas and Daf Mem Dalid Amud Aleph. So there, apropos to the case of Gairini Amanas Shenasei L'Oso Talmud, the Bimagairmi person says to the Bezdin, on the condition that you let me marry this person. So the Beis Yosef writes, Mikanyesh Lilmo Shakolafi Rosene Abezdin, that everything depends on the business perspective, meaning there isn't necessarily an absolute minia that a bezin could never be megayer or someone where there's ulterior motivation. You have to be able to parse what's really the ultimate motivation. And maybe there are multiple motivations, and maybe there's enough sincerity independent of the relationship that a bezin could have a comfort level. That's what Chuvas Or Sameach writes, Chelik Beis, Simin, Lamed Beis, Chelik Beis, Simin, Lamed Beis. In such a situation of a geirus l'shem ishus, where the eved kulam geirim heim, he points out there's another consideration as well. Why you might be able to be megayer these people? Bottom line, and that's based on the Shuvas Harambam. Shuvas Harambam has a line that's in the context of a shivcha where there is a relationship with a guy, and there's a Shichra, which is equivalent to Geirus in the picture. The Rama is a line of Takanas Hashavim, that if you're not going to be Megayer this Shichra, so then they're going to live together B'Isser. Mutav Sheyochal Rota Val Yochal Shuman, Mutav Sheyochal Basar Temutos, that it's better to, if you can manage the situation to minimize the Averos in a way that doesn't contravene Halacha, that may be preferable. So if you have a situation where you may end up having a comfort level anyway with the sincerity of the Gioris, even though there was a L'shem Ishus impetus, so that may not really be halachically L'shem Ishus. And Rabbi Moser has something along those lines also in Chelak Gimel Achiezer Simen Kavav, Chelak Gimel Simen Kavav, famous tshuva of Rabbi Moser. So, and that is the practice of most Bati Din around the world, that when it comes to a Geirus L'shem Ishus situation, if a Bezin is able to be convinced that the woman has, or the man, has independent motivation and sincerity above and beyond the relationship, such that even if the relationship fell apart, the person will still remain committed, you can never know for sure. But if you have a comfort level over time, so then we don't necessarily consider that to be a strict case of L'shem Ishus. Rav Avadia writes that way as well, more or less, Chelech Chesi Bia Omer, Yoridea Simen Kavdalit, Chelechest Simen Kavdalit. But Rav Nata was famous for never being willing to touch a L'shem Ishus case. So he writes here in this letter to Rav David Lifshitz, so I should be Megayer the mother. Why can't I be Megayer the mother? He says, "Me'olam lo nizdakakti l'gayer shum ger l'shem ishas. I never was megayer anyone l'shem ishas. The gamim who Yisrael amutir begiaris. Even if the woman's involved with the Jewish guy is not a kohen, so technically, if you megayer her, they can live together beheter. I never did it in my." He says, in the 14 years that I've been here in Memphis, it was 1963, I got there in 1949 in his 20s. In the 14 years I've been in Memphis, I never was Megayer L'Shem Ishas. And he says, L'dati, Gam im Nisu Kvar V'Isser, even if they're already civilly married, Chashem is Megayer L'Shem Ishas, that's also called L'Shem Ishas. So can't be Megayer the mother. I was Menachem Oval this week on the family. One of the sons said, Sol Maisa, where bottom line was no gelin yanenu, that there was a case where not a paskin that you could do a geirus, which ostensibly decades ago ostensibly looked like it was a l'shem ishas situation, but he did an investigation and determined that the person really was a suffolk, so maybe they were Jewish ready anyway, and therefore that wasn't really called. The maisa was that the person started conversion process before she met the guy. So that wasn't called L'Shem Ishas because she was in the process. It's true that while she was in the process, she met the guy. But she started the process before, so he said that wasn't called L'Shem Ishas. So in that case, he was comfortable with the Gavis. Okay, so you can't be the guy or the mother, but at the same time, the kid is basically living within an observant orbit. Everyone's going to view him as Jewish. So the right thing to do would be to send him to the day school. So he says, we could be Megayer the kid without the mother. So usually speaking, that would be very non-standard. Now, the whole premise of Geiris Katan, Ksuvus Yedoah Aleph, Aldas Bezdin, is that there's Zchus. We generally assume Zchus means to live in an observant environment. So if the mother's not Jewish, how can you call that living in an observant environment? So if not to settle here, it's basically an observant environment. It was up to the mother. She would convert. But he says, Harei bad v'kavanos l'sgayer, v'ikav enu mitzidah, rak mitzidah. It's the reason the woman's not converting is because of her. It's because of me. I'm not prepared to convert her. But she would convert if she could. So chutz me, the fact that she's not halachically Jewish, and maybe there's bishalakim going in the house, but otherwise it's going to be an observant home. But we have cases like this decades later, a little bit of a different fact pattern, but the same yesod, conservative BRS, married to a Jew. He's a Kohen, becoming more observant. And now they're basically living an observant lifestyle, but they're not prepared to separate. And if she'd be Megayer Kalacha, then they'd be living together Bisser. Have to live together with Yisrael anyway, but with a different Yisrael. That wouldn't be a good Geirus because that would be a Geirus L'Shom Davar Acher. That would be a Geirus Kutzmi Davar Acher. That would be a Geirus where she's not prepared to commit to all Mitzvahs because she's going to be living with a Kohen Bisser. So it's not an option to be the guy or the mother. But let's say they're ready kids. And otherwise, they're living a frum lifestyle. The kids want to go to day school and they'll probably grow up to be upstanding frum citizens. So the first case when this came up before my time was where the fact pattern was this couple wanted to adopt a kid. So could you adopt a kid? Megayer the kid al das bezdin. So there, Rav Gedalia the Shor Zichrono Livracha liad bezdin paskin yes, Zalman Nechemia paskin yes, or Zalman Nechemia said maybe she'd do a gir l'chum and the kid becomes bar mitzvah. And then since then we had a couple cases where they already had kids, and now can you be Megayer the kids without the mother? But decades earlier, Renata basically did the same thing over here, where all the elements of observance are in place, just you can't be the guy or the mother for essentially technicality. He says, it's going to come out that people are going to think that we're endorsing the conservative gayrists because they won't realize what happened here. So he said, so number one, we're going to do another tefillah. And number two, we should do a tavas dam bris. So he doesn't elaborate on this. But it sounds like even in principle, so that's a whole discussion, but most poskim remekel, let's say you had a bris mila that was either done, lichachila bris mila l'shem geiris requires a bezdin. we paskin that Bezin Mikradin is not Machlok of the Shonim, but a push comes to Shah Bezin is not necessarily Ma'akev for Mila. So two flavors of the Shaili. Either let's say you did a Mila L'Shem Yadis, you did a Mila not knowing that the kid was not Jewish or the person was not Jewish. You thought he was Jewish, they did a regular Gir L'Shem Yadis. It turns out that the person needs a Geiris. So do you have to do another Atavas Dan Bris, or can you rely on the original Mila that was on L'Shem Yadis? So many Pesachim are Mekel on that. See Pesach Ve'an Gerodei Simon Reishit Tes is Mekel. Ramosha essentially is Mekel Yerodei Chelik Aleph Simon Kuf Nun Ches, Yerodei Chelik Aleph Simon Kuf Nun Ches. And they say Shmuel Salant was Mekel. And then the second question is, let's say you had a Mila that was done even L'Shem Geiris, but done by a Mummer. So different categories of Mumrim. The Ramah writes in the Beis Samach Dal and Hilchas Mila that a Mumr L'Chalot HaRakula is Dino Ka'akum and you need a Tafa. But most of our non-observant people are probably not a Mumr L'Chalot HaRakula. So that's what Dayan Weiss writes in Chassi Yitzchak Chela Dal and Sibin Kuf Aleph, that that's the case. Maybe a Mumr is better than an Achri. If the Mumr is Mahol, he's just a conservative reform, but he's not a Mumr. Not a Mumr L'Chalot HaRakula, he's not a Mumr L'Arlus. So maybe that would be okay as well. So that's in general the practice of many not to require a tough in that situation. Rabbi Wilger Schefter thinks that if you do a tough in that situation, it's not necessary. That's the chavala shelo l'tzarech. Question is, if you have a halacha consideration, why is that necessarily still chavala shelo l'tzarech? The Schefter has become a little bit more, if you will, makel about this in recent years, that if there's a halacha cheshbon, maybe you could do the chavala. Not tough, and maybe there's not a Chavala, but it sounds like here, just to show that the conservative gave us was nothing and no one should think that we're relying on it, even if in principle you didn't have to do a tafa, here do a tafa on the kid. And then the final chiddush, which is probably the biggest chiddush over here that we spoke about a little bit last Shabbos, is that with Nota writes, kid was 5 years old. Kid was 5 years old, fine, do a ger katan. But he says, if the kid would have been any older, 6, 7, 8, it's not so pasha that you could do a ger katan. Why? So chuvas chasen sofer yoredeya simin shin yudzayin, chasen sofer yoredeya simin shin yudzayin, nidon of the chasen sofer was whether a 9-year-old non-Jew can acquire a behemah mizakeres to avoid having a Bechor Behema Tahora with Kedushas Bechor. So our practice is that if you have a pregnant kosher animal, that pregnant Behema Mevakeres, kosher animal that never gave birth before, where potentially you could end up with a Bechor that would have Kedushas Bechor Berechem, which is a difficult situation to deal with nowadays. So you sell the animal to an Achri beforehand. So can you sell the animal to a 9-year-old kid? So Tocha Dvarim, Chasen Sofer has the consideration that Ein Shiurim Libnei Noach. So in the definition of a Gadol for Yisrael, Gadol is defined as combination of Shanim Simanim, Shanim being 12 or 13. So under no circumstances, as intelligent as a person may be, less than 12, 13, that's Halachik Katan, Halachik Labardas. But if Ein Shiurim Libnei Noach, so maybe you have to evaluate every Ben Noach based on his own intelligence level, along the lines of the Din of Pe'utos, that we ascribe a certain intelligence to kids at the age of 6, 7, or 8, 9 for commercial activity and understand the basic understanding of commercial activity, or maybe the step before of Tzor Vizorko Egas Venotlo, knowing the difference between a pebble and a walnut. So maybe you have to evaluate every kid based on his own intelligence, because you don't have any objective standard to determine whether the Ben Noach is a Gadol or a Katan. Tosfos Rid has this line down the margin of the Gemara Ksuvos Daf Yud Aleph in the context of Macha, that did that a Ger Katan, when it becomes a Gadol, could be Moche. So Tosfos Rid has a line, well, Macha, if we're talking about a non-Jew, or in the context of Geirus, Macha may depend on the intelligence of the person, and not on the objective age of 12, 13. So maybe Macha there is totally dependent on Das. So there is a tshuva. I saw this in the Sefer Mishnah Sagir. He quotes the Machna Chaim, who's in the Chazon Sofer's family. Arachayim Chelik of Simin Pei Tes. See, he says that maybe the following should be true, Lahalacha, that Goyishu Bardas is Sichlo Shalim, Ubaliskayer, that if you have a kid who's a Bardas, who's been Megayer Aldas Bezdin, so then he can't do Macha anymore, because in Hilchos Bnei Noach, he's considered to be a Bardas. That's along the lines of that Tosafot's bit. But Rav Nata goes further here and says, well, maybe you can't be Megayer that 7 or 8 year old kid at all, because if he's intelligent enough, so you can't be Megayer him al Das Bezdin, because the mechanism of Das Bezdin only works for a Kata. So that maybe in Hilchos Bnei Noach, he's a Gadol. But maybe there are different standards for what's the intelligence to be considered a Gadol for certain things, and what's the intelligence for the purpose of Kabbalah Samitzvahs. So maybe he's a Gadol in Hilchos Bnei Noach enough that Ger Katan won't work anymore, but he's not a Gadol enough that he can independently undertake Kabbalah Samitzvahs. So you have kind of this gray area age where there are enough sfeikos that maybe you wouldn't have a comfort level being Megayer that kid at all. So I believe in practice, we've not to shied away from doing geiros on kids in that window. So he didn't do any geiros to Shem Ishis, he didn't do any geiros on kids that age. And he made up for it with all the tens of thousands of gittin that he did over the decades traveling all across the country. So this is a fascinating tshuva that shows, on the one hand, his koach hapsak at a very young age in navigating a complex situation, both with chumras and kulas, if you will, in both directions, where ultimately, he wasn't willing to compromise on any principles, but at the same time, he was trying to do everything that he could to help this kid and accept the kid into the day school. So I was saying this over this week, today, to someone who grew up in Memphis, who put two and two together and realized that he was in the same class as his kid in day school. So corroboration of the fact that all seemed to work out at that time. Okay, so this is all we got to today. Maybe at a future date, we'll talk about some other psakim. Well, that's what we. So maybe at least it's the suffix. That's what we discussed. You mentioned the Shabbos shir left on Minchas Chinuch's Chatzi shir. But yes, anytime you have a suffix, whether the Jewish or not, it's on the one hand, Goyish Shabbos Chayim Mitzvah. On the other hand, Yisrael Chil Shabbos is Chayim Skila. So we tend to err on the side of better to keep Shabbos, because whatever Goyish Shabbos Chayim Mitzvah means, it's not as bad as Yisrael Chil Shabbos. But the Minchas Chinuch says that if you are violated a Malacha B'chatzi Shir, so if you're Yisrael, you haven't done a Malacha, you haven't done a Chayim Skila. Chatzi Shir V'yasir Ben Torah, if there's a Chatzi Malacha B'chatzi Shir, but it's not a Chayim Skila. If you're an Akamin Shir L'Ben Noach, and therefore you have violated Shabbos because even Chatzi Shir V'yasir for Ben Noach, so then you have your cake and eat it too.
Does it matter why she converted to control the
conservative? Yeah, why she converted, meaning why she went to conservative and not Orthodox?
Well, why did she want to convert?
Right, so it could have been L'shem Yishus. Rav Nata writes that the conservative rabbi learned in Maradovich. They said he can't blame them for going to the conservative rabbi. He learned by Rabbi Chanan. They probably thought he was the other rabbis. The other rabbi in town, aside from Rav Nata, was a YU guy. And this guy learned by Rabbi Chanan. So couldn't blame them.
What was it? She wanted to truly be Jewish.
Right.
So originally, when she did it, it
wasn't L'shem Yishus. Right. So then, he probably would have said that's not L'shem Yishus, because the original,
because
he started the
process. He knew that's not how the original one was.
Right, because here they were already married at the time.
I know, but that's
so she was already married to her husband when she did the first Gavis. Yeah.
So